attorney, advocate, author, public speaker, The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600. Flip that switch and turn on your brain. Here is Lisa Wexler. Keeping the lights on in the Nutmeg State, Connecticut's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority Chairman Marissa Gillette chats with Lisa Wexler now on WICC 600.
And good morning and welcome at 203-333-9422. We have Marissa Gillette with us. She is the chairwoman of PURA, which is our Public Utility Regulatory Authority. What a big mouthful that is. And if you want to ask her a question, you can call me at 203-333-9422. Welcome, Marissa. Are you staying warm?
I am. Thanks for having me back. Always a pleasure.
So how are we doing with the heat and the general, you know, reliability altogether of Connecticut during this cold spell? Are we okay? We keeping up?
So far, so good. And I think we've talked about this before. There's definitely two things at play here. We have the distribution infrastructure, so the poles and wires that need to stay reliable to deliver the electricity. But also we have the supply, the fuel supply, and that's regulated by a regional grid operator. And that's where you can get into trouble with extended cold snaps. But their 21-day outlook right now is not showing any fuel constraints that are of concern. So at this point in time, I'm feeling okay.
Well, it looks like we may have a snow coming this weekend. What a shock, January snow. And so there may be some scattered power outages and things like that. I know that Eversource and UI, but particularly Eversource, has been very busy chopping down trees. Just this week, there was a tremendous hue and a cry in Westport, which is the town I live in, because the neighbors felt very blindsided once again by trees that were cut down in the, in the easement or in the little passageway that they have next to the railroad bed. We've talked about vegetation management. We're going to continue to talk about it, Marissa Gillette. What, if anything, can a homeowner do if they feel like trees that were already cut down should not have been cut down? What do they do after the fact?
Oh, this is such a challenging topic for all the reasons that we've talked about today and previously. And it's a frustrating one for me because whether it's a homeowner or a business owner, the challenge is PURA's jurisdiction over these utilities really varies depending on where the tree is located. So if a homeowner feels like they had a tree that was wrongly taken down, the first stop may be your tree warden. Every municipality has one, and that tree warden is often involved in giving the permits that allow the utilities to take down the trees. If you think that your tree was cut down and it was on an easement, so a private easement, that may actually be, you know, a private cause of action, where you need to take it up in court. You can always, always, always reach out to PURA's customer call center, and we can help you assess whether it's the tree warden, a private cause of action, or something that was taken down in a public right-of-way. And it's that third category that PURA has jurisdiction over. So that would be my recommendation, is just knowing that there are different entities involved here, and you can get different resolutions depending on, where that tree was situated.
I can't remember offhand what the bee lady's name was from Weston.
Oh,
but I thank you for
Marina.
Marina, that's right. But I thank you for taking her call. Whatever happened with that? Did anything happen after our last, appearance here on the Lisa Wexler Show? Because she was so distraught that the complaint hadn't even reached your ears.
Yes, and I really took that to heart myself. What I didn't say then, which, I'm happy to say now, is, customer complaints, you might be surprised, but we get between, 5,000 and 10,000 customer complaints a year into our call center, which is about four people.
So, oh, boy.
We've talked about the expanse of my jurisdiction previously. So, unfortunately, the customer complaints don't always make their way up to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have any time to do anything else, which is kind of a commentary on, you know, the state of our system. I'm not saying that it's a good thing. So what I did, first of all, was circle back to my call center, because I think that there were some, you know, threshold issues there. She had concerns we hadn't been responsive, which is absolutely something I can take care of. So we pulled the records of the complaint, and, you know, my understanding is that it was cut down on a private easement, which is unfortunately one of those things that we cannot regulate action that occurs on a private property. So, you know, we've been in contact with her to, you know, share that information.
So in other words, because her deed has, which is very typical of every homeowner, a utility easement for the first, let's say, 3 feet of frontage of the off the edge of your property, you're saying because of that, it's not within PURA's authority anymore?
Correct. The statute, as it's written today, PURA's authority is in a public right-of-way.
I see.
So if the action's happening, you know, in a on a private easement or on a Department of Transportation easement, under the current statute today, PURA does not have authority to you know, help with either stopping that tree cutting or, you know, mitigating it or remediating it afterwards. It's just not something our jurisdiction extends into.
Is that something that you want to change?
You know, that's a great question. I'm trying to get my arms around. It's frustrating to me to have jurisdiction over a company and think that means I could affect how they do business in all aspects. And that's just not the truth. Having another tool in my toolbox is, you know, always something that I generally welcome. Whether it be opening up, you know, kind of Pandora's box, and whether PURA could help adjudicate, you know, home by home by home, I think is probably a bit ambitious. There are different approaches to that in different states, right? And I think that's kind of why they stood up the tree warden system in Connecticut was, you know, hopefully your local tree warden has a good grasp on, you know, the ecological and environmental impacts from taking down the tree in your area.
Yeah, but a lot of tree wardens don't have much teeth either. They're very frustrated,
right?
Because they can only do so much. Some of them don't even have the power to fine. It's very difficult. I think it's very patchwork. It's not, you know, it's a patchwork system in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it'll be incumbent on us over the, you know, next year or two to figure out if there's a way to stitch all these disparate policies together. And my approach is taking a couple steps back and approaching Eversource and UI's, you know, vegetation management strategies as a whole.
Okay.
Like systemically. So mm-hmm. If they're doing tree cutting right now because they're trying to increase reliability and resilience, then how much increase in the reliability and resilience do we get from cutting down an individual tree? You should be able to actually quantify that, because reliability is measured in terms of minutes that the system is down and the frequency that the system's down. So we're working towards, you know, putting metrics around all of this, which sounds like a very basic first step, but it's a necessary one. And then it becomes a question of, you know, what is the general public willing to live with in terms of reliability and resilience, you know, impacts if the trees stay up? And can we combat that with undergrounding?
That's
and,
right.
You know, other types
well,
of solutions.
Well, I'll tell you something. Yeah. At a minimum, if they're digging up the ground, they need to be replacing the tree with something that doesn't grow as big and as wide, but is still a beautiful tree and offers some cover mm-hmm. and some oxygen to the planet. Because what mm-hmm. also, if you're going to do metrics, we're chatting with Marissa Gillette, let's do the metrics of what happens to the environment every time you take out a tree.
Absolutely. And I think that that's something that's been missing, you know, to be frank, I don't think that Pirro or his predecessor were set up to take into account all those different impacts. Like, we're looking very narrowly at, you know, economic impacts of and just the what's in front of you. And I don't think PIRA or agencies like us in other states have typically been enabled to take into account the environmental impacts or the non-energy impacts of things. So that's also something that we're working through.
Because you could argue, because you know why, Marissa Gillette, you could argue, and I would argue, that trees, especially, they're talking about, and they are, in the process of cutting down over 4,700 miles of trees, that taken collectively, that has an impact on our weather. I mean, that has an impact on more heat, more sun, more heat, whatever. I mean, it has an impact. It's not just one or two trees.
Absolutely. And I think that we're guilty as a an agency, as a energy, you know, ecosphere, of thinking about things in silos. And I think that there's a, you know, a holistic approach that can be had here. And I wonder if that's going to be the more fruitful or productive approach to this, rather than jumping straight to trying to get jurisdiction over helping individual homeowners. Because if I fix the systemic issues, then, you know, hopefully that will, you know, flow down.
Do you, when you do your thing every year, do you go to the legislature with a proposed budget? How does your budget get set?
Yes. So you may, I'm sure this is something that is like a black box portion of PIRA. How our budget is set and how we're actually funded is through an assessment to the utility companies. So, you know, the legislature does tell us how many staff that we can hire. So my my staff was actually increased by 10 people last year. So we now have 80.
That's good.
So they set that, and then that yields, you know, a budget, and that is then broken up and assessed to the utilities that we regulate. So that's kind of in a nutshell how that works.
Okay. Well, Marissa Gillette, I want to thank you for your time today. It's always illuminating. Really, it's always illuminating, your candor and your willingness to talk with us about the flaws as well as the, you know, as well as the better points of what you do is really an important community service. And I really want to thank you for coming on every month.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Marissa Gillette on the Lisa Wexler Show here on WICC. We'll be right back.